Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Yud Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins almost halfway down Daf Yud Zayin Omen Aleph. You will notice a bow tie shape around the word V'idach. We noted already in our previous Shiurim that we are dealing with the 18 gezeros that were featured or mentioned, alluded to in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel. 18 gezeros in which there had been a machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and the vote took place on each one of these gezeros and went like the ruling of Beis Shammai. So we continue here, V'idach. We are interested in knowing what is an additional one. We've been adding to the list of the gezeros that started at the beginning of the sugya, mentioned, as we mentioned, Daf Yud Gimel, Omid Beis, where we spoke about the issur of Ein Poilin, of removing the lice, Lo Yikulo Haner, and the nine things that were Metame Truma, and we continued on and on, adding to the list. So here we continue, V'idach, what is an additional example that is part of the list. So we have a Tanaic source, and this Tanaic source, the issue concerning harvesting of grapes and the liquids that come forth from them while harvesting, will it machshir lekabel tumor or not? This topic we have seen already. We've touched on this when the Gemara had featured the three areas in which Shammai and Hillel have a machlokes. This is one of them. But we are looking for examples of the Talmidim of Shammai arguing with the Talmidim of Hillel and the subsequent ruling like the Talmidim of Shammai. So note to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a nun that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. This is a point. In other words, in order to discover what the additional gezera is, in order to add to the list, we have to go through all of the material that's featured in this long point. It includes a Tanaic source and the comment of the Gemara afterwards. And you can see in that comment after the vertical dashed line, as you near the end, we dashed on the V'asu Talmidayu Gozer V'kiblu Minayu. That is essentially the main point of what we are about to learn. So let us now see the Gemara dealing with the topic of harvesting grapes for the purpose of making wine. We have a topic heading on the side of the Gemara under our No Say heading, where we have written Habotzer Lagas im Mashka Hayotze Machshir. Is it so that the liquids that come out while harvesting them will machshir, will enable the other grapes to makabel tuma? We've mentioned in the past that food will not makabel tuma unless it has become wet with one of the seven different mashkim that are machshir lekabel tuma. Machshir is enabling it, the food item, to or make it susceptible to receiving tuma. The general rule of thumb with regard to hechsher lekabel tuma is liquid that you are interested in comes into contact with the food item. But the main point, it has to be liquid that you are machshiv, and that's based on exeris akosiv, which says ki yutan mayim al zera, and the Gemara darshins elsewhere yutan dumyo diyitain, where you had kavona for the mashke, you had intent for the mashke, not necessarily intent for the food item to become wet, but you were interested in the mashke. We're emphasizing this point because when harvesting grapes, and then loading them into baskets, the liquid under normal circumstances will simply any liquid that oozes out of the grapes while you're harvesting them will drip through the basket onto the ground. It's wasted liquid. So it's hard to think of that liquid as something that you want. Therefore, there's a side to say that it's not machshir lekabotum because it's liquid that is holech leibud. It goes to waste. It's not something that you think about per se. Let us now continue in the Gemara. Vidoch habotzer legas, harvesting grapes for pressing them. The gas is the wine press. Shammai omer huchsher. Shammai says that the liquid that oozes out of the grapes when you're harvesting them will machshir the grapes lekabel tuma. Hillel omer lo huchsher. They don't become muchsher lekabel tuma. Omer le Hillel le Shammai. Mipnei ma botzrim betara v'ein moiskin betara. Moiskin is the harvesting of olives. Why is it that you insist on using vessels that are tohor, pure, non-tome vessels for harvesting of grapes? As you said, the liquid that comes forth from them would machshir them the kabel tumah. Therefore, it's important to use vessels that are tohor, so that the vessels don't metame the grapes. So why is it that you're concerned with the tahara of the grapes insofar as you insist on using tohar vessels, but when it comes to the harvesting of olives, you're not insistent on using tohar vessels for olives? So Hillel was challenging Shammai in a seeming with this, a claim of seeming inconsistency. Amalei, so Shammai says, im takniteni, if you irritate me more than gozrani tuma af al hamasika, then I will rule that there is tuma even by the harvesting of the olives. In other words, that the liquid oozing forth from the olives will machshir them to mekabel tuma. Noatsu cherev bebeis hamedrash, they wedged a sword at the entrance to the base medrash, to the where they were studying Torah. Omru, and they declared, Hanichnas ikones, vayotze al yetze. Anyone who wants to come in shall come in, but no one shall leave. The reason for this is that they were assembling a group in order to take a vote on this topic, and they didn't want anyone leaving. The oisa yom hoya hilo kofuf v'yoshiv lifnei shamai ke'echol min atamidim. That day, Hillel was had been subordinate. Kofuf is literally bent over, bent and subordinate to Shammai, and sat in front of Shammai like one of the students. Bearing in mind, Hillel was the Nasi, he was the leader of the Jewish people of the time, and yet he was subordinate to Shammai. And it was a day that was difficult, tough, troublesome, like the day that the golden calf was made. The Rashi says, very briefly, it was Koshe. He says, Lefishi Hillel, oh, no, see, Hillel was on the one hand the leader, the Anvison, but he was also very humble. There is a more commentary in this in the Meforshim and the commentaries on what is the connection between the day of the Egel and this occasion of Hillel subordinating himself to Shammai. But for our purposes, there's a sufficient feeling here of great of strain and tsar. The gozer Shammai the Hillel the lo kiblu minayu. They imposed the gezerah on the harvesting of the grapes as being muchshir lekabel tuma, but the community didn't accept it. The also talmidayu gozer v'kiblu minayu. But then the next generation, the students of Shammai and Hillel, came along later, imposed this gezerah, and it was accepted. So this is another example of the vote having been taken on this matter, and the result being that the botzer legas is machshir lekabel tuma, And this is something that the Talmidim of Shammai were responsible for. Now the Gemara gets into the reasons, but as far as an additional number to the list of 18, so we say Botzer Vegas is one of those. The Gemara asks, "My Taima, why is it Mukhshir L'Kabel Tuma when by letter of the law it should not be Mukhshir L'Kabel Tuma, because it's not liquid that he's interested in? After all, when he harvests the grapes and throws them into the baskets, the liquid that oozes forth from them drips out and goes to waste. And as we said before, liquids are not machshir l'kabel tumah unless there is intent and interest in those liquids. So we have a marking scheme involving a double underline, and you can see on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading, we have written ta'amim, reasons, lama l'bei shamai hamashkin machshirin bebotzer l'gas. Why does the liquid machshir l'kabel tumah in the case of harvesting for grape, for wine production? Omar Ziri, Omar Chanina, Gzeira shema yivtzerenu bekupois tameos. The reason that we say that it's that the liquid is machshir l'kabel tumah, in order to make sure that people don't use vessels, the kupos or boxes or baskets that are tamei. What the Gemara is telling us is that if he were to use a vessel that's tamei, the mere fact that he's using a vessel that's tamei will machshir, will cause the liquids to be considered choshuv. It's a very interesting concept here, that even though the owner is giving up on the liquids, he has no interest in them, but since he's using a vessel that's tamei, the vessel will machshir, will cause the mashkin to have chashivus, and as a result of that, the mashkin will machshir the fruits l'kabel tumah. The Rashi explains, "Bekupois tomeos." We're looking at Rashi four lines under the Gemara text. The asya tumas hakli, the tumah that is present in the kli comes umachshiv olei lemashke lahachshir, and creates a sense of importance to the liquid that oozes forth and makes it able to machshir lekabel tumah. Hoyo v'tumaso v'hechsheru kachas, because the tumah and the hechsher come at the same time. It happens simultaneously. Meaning that since he's using kalim that are tomei, that creates chashivus to the liquids, and at the same moment, the liquids absorb the tumah of the kli. The Gemara goes on and says, Ha'nicha, this explanation is understandable, lamada omar kli tomei choshev mashkin shapir, that a kli that's tomei, a vessel that's tomei, elevates the importance of the liquid to become a machshir. So we understand this rule that the mashkin coming forth from grapes when they're being harvested is machshir l'kabel tumah in anticipation of a case where you use a kli that's tamei that will actually be machshir l'kabel tumah. Ella l'man yomer ein kli tamei choshev mashkin ma'ikol emeimar. But according to the opinion, it says that the vessel does not impart importance to the liquid, and the owner doesn't have any thoughts or concerns with regard to the liquid that's going to waste anyway. So, what is the basis of declaring boitzer legas muchshir l'kabel tumah? Elo Omar Ziri, Omar Rabbi Chanina, gzeiro shema yivtzerenu bekupois mizupofos. We are telling you that in general, haboitzer legas, the liquid is muchshir l'kabel tumah, in anticipation of a case where he uses lined baskets, where the liquid won't go to waste, and in that case he really is interested in the accumulated liquid. He will add that to the wine, to the liquid that comes forth when pressing the grapes. So it's a gzera that is made, as we said, the liquid from the grapes will always mashu lekabel tuma, even though it's going to waste, in anticipation of the case where it does, in fact does not go to waste, and that's if he were to use a lined basket. Rava Omar, gzero mishum hanoshchos. Rashi, hanoshchos, second line from the bottom. Eshkolos, clusters, hanoshchos zu ezu, that are interlocked one with the other, literally biting into one another. Ukshibol afridon, when you have clusters of grapes that are noshchos and you come to separate them, nishan hamashke alehen, so the liquid will drip onto them. This is the rule. Since he's doing something physically, he is pulling the grapes apart. And when pulling them apart, it's impossible that liquid won't be squeezed out. So in effect, he is squeezing out the liquid. It's not just that the liquid is oozing forth from the grapes, but since he's doing an action, that imparts hashivus to the liquid. And it therefore will machshir lekabel tuma. Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avua, pa'omim shalom hoylech lekamo leida im higia anovim libsira oiloi. Sometimes people will go to their vineyards and investigate whether the grapes have reached maturity for their harvest or not. And how does he evaluate this? V'noitel eshkol anovim, he takes a cluster of grapes, lisochato, to squeeze out, umazalef al gabi anovim, and when he squeezes out his test grapes, he squeezes them out, and the liquid drips onto other grapes, ubashas bitzira adayin mashke tefech aleihem, and when they come to harvest, the liquid that he caused to come out is still on the other grapes. It would seem that the hesber we gave for Rava will apply equally to Rav Nachman, because here, once again, the person is doing something he wants the liquid. He's clearly squeezing out a cluster of grapes in order to test it if it's reached maturity. So that's liquid that he wants to come out. That's what he's testing. He's going to taste it. But it just so happens that liquid may still be left on the other grapes when harvest time comes. So those other grapes are mukhshir lekabel tuma. So we make a gzera in general, in all cases of grape harvesting, in anticipation of this case where the liquid is in fact really mukhshir lekabel tuma. Once again, because it's a case where he wanted the liquid. Rava emphasizes more the fact that he did an action to get the liquid out, and Rav Nachman is describing a case where he actually wants the liquid to test, to know whether the grapes are ready. So, as we said, we then make Ixera in anticipation of this case, which is a Iker Hadin case. The Idach, we continue looking for the completion of the list of 18 gezeros. Omar, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Tovi Rishpo. Tovi is a name. Rishpo was his profession. He was a trapsman. So Tovi Rishpo Omar Shmuel. He quotes Shmuel that says, Af gidulei truma bo bayom gozru. Even the rule that if one takes truma seeds, for example, grains have been tithed as truma. He takes a couple grains and plants them. He plants the grains that were part of a truma tithe, and they sprout forth, creating gidule truma. We label the gidule truma as truma. That idea of labeling gidule truma as truma is one of the gezeros. And it was made on that day that we saw, that we featured in the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason for this? So you'll notice on the side of the Gemara we have a no-say heading, Gidulei Truma, Truma. And then we have triangles under our Mivneh heading, Ta'amim Lehanal. These are explanations for this halacha. We should point out that by letter of the law, if you had some truma tithe, and you took the seeds and planted them, what grows is no longer truma. It's something brand new. Especially in the case of seeds that totally decompose. But this halacha applies across the board. Even to seeds that remain somewhat intact in the ground, they would not be considered truma anymore once they sprout forth. However, midrabanan, we're imposing gzera that the gidulei truma, the things that grow from the truma seeds that you planted, will be considered truma itself. My time, why did they impose this stringency? Gzera mishum truma toro biad Yisrael. This is a gzera made in anticipation of a Yisrael who is stingy and doesn't want to mafresh his truma. So someone like that, the fear is that he will take his truma tithe that he's supposed to give, and he doesn't want to give it, so he'll take it and plant it, he'll throw it in the ground, and with that he was hoping that it would no longer be considered truma, and he'll be able to benefit from it. After all, truma is mutter only for the kohanim. But he thinks, this stingy Yisrael thinks, that by planting it, so he'll be able to recover the loss, so to speak, for the truma that he tithed. Omar Rova. If people are suspect, like we just described, then afrushi nami lo lifrushu, then they wouldn't even tithe in the first place. And yet, kevon de efshur lemevad chito achas kidishmuel, the low covid, mehemune mehemni. Since in order for a person to fulfill his truma tithe requirement, all he has to do is take off one stalk of wheat, and that will exempt all of his field from truma. Since it's very easy for a person to be mafresh truma, so the Yisrael is going to have been mafresh truma. As we said, even one wheat stalk can exempt all of his needs. So the owner there's no need for him to feel a sense of stinginess regarding his truma. He'll tithe it and be done with it. So if this question then comes back, why did they impose a rule that gidulei truma is truma? And look, zero mishum truma temeo biad kohen dilmo mashi lo gabe v'osi lidei takola. What we're afraid of is that the truma tithe might be in the possession of a kohen, and the truma that's in his possession becomes tameh. And we're afraid that he might keep it around, the truma tameya, he'll keep it around till planting season, which could be a few months away, and then plant the seeds that he got from the seeds that truma that became tameh, and with the hope being that the new growth is no longer tameh. The problem here, and this is the reason they made the gzera, is that if he were to do that until planting season comes around, he can end up taking from those seeds and eating from them, and that would be of course a forbidden thing to do. The Rashi on the second narrow line, Mishum Truma Tameya Biad Kohen, Shasura Bachila, Truma Tameya is forbidden to eat, Uvo Lizora, and he will come to plant it. the gozer shitehei b'shmo harishon, and they made a gzera that planting is not going to help, that the new plants are going to have the original, the status of the original truma. Varehi truma temea, v'dechayshinon dilmo mashi lo ad zman zriya, v'osu lemecha b'tumasa. And as we said, we're afraid that he'll keep the truma temea around till planting season, and in the meantime come to eat it as it is, and it'll be in violation of eating truma temea. So we say to the person, to the kayin, you're not going to benefit if you plant the truma, because if you plant the truma, whatever grows is going to be declared to be truma temea. We continue in our search for additional gzeros, the idoch. Under our topic heading on the side, you can see we've noted the nosei is nosen kiso lenochri. This involves someone who it's on Erev Shabbos, it's getting very late, and he discovers that he has his wallet full of money, and what is he now to do with it as Shabbos sets in? So the Gemara says, "V'idoch Amar Rav Chiya bar Ami Mishmei de'ula Af mi shehichshich loy baderech." Someone who it became late for, and he's on the road. He is not home yet. No sen kiso lenochri. He is expected to give his pouch to a Gentile to carry it home for him, as opposed to another option that exists on the books, but we make a gzera not to do, and that would be to carry it less than 4 amos each time. In other words, walking a step or two, stopping, walking again a step or two, and stopping, each time walking less than 4 amos, so as not to be over on Mavir Dalet Amos Brishus Arabim, Bo Bayom Gozru. This idea of not doing the Pochos Pochos Me'arba Amos, but rather give it to a Nochri, was imposed on this day. V'idoch, the additional Gzera, so as to complete the list. Omar Boli, Omar Avimi Sanvisa. Sanvisa is the name of a place, so Boli is a name, and he quotes Avimi from Sanvisa. Piton v'shimnon v'yenon uvnosehen kulon miyudches davorhein. The ruling prohibiting Gentile bread, oil, wine, and their women are from the yudches davor. When we say their women are usher, it's known that a Jew is forbidden to marry a Gentile, and that's a Torah law. Lo sischatein bom, the Pasuk says. So it's explained elsewhere in the Gemara that Benoseim is the prohibition of being in private with them. Yichud with a Nochri will be Aser, and that's from the Yud Ches Dover. The Gemara says, Honicha, it's fine, we have found 18, the Rebbe Meir, according to Rebbe Meir, that counted the example of the vessel left under the pipe, and it constituting Mayim Sheuvim was part of the list of Gezeros. El Rabbi Yossi, but according to Rabbi Yossi, who said concerning that case of the Kli left in the left under the pipe is still a machlokus, and it's not a case where there was a ruling like Beis Shammai. So Shifsri Havyon, then we're still missing one from the list. We have only Shifsri 17 gzeros. The Gemara answers, Ika, and take note of the fact that we're about to embark on a long answer, and that's illustrated by the Tuf, which is a teretz, a long answer marking with the descending vertical dash line. So the 18th gzera will be that which Rav Acha bar Ado adds at the end of this section of Gemara. Di Omar Rav Ado bar Ado Omar Vitzchok. we have a bracketed section that we'll skip initially because what's contained in here is text that needs to be corrected. So we skip the brackets in order to read the accurate text, and then we'll reread the bracketed section later. So Rav Acha says, Gozru al piton v'shimnon mishum yenon. A ruling was made forbidding bread baked by a Gentile and the use of their oil in anticipation of you're not coming to use their wine. The al yenon mishum b'noseim, and the ruling against drinking Gentile wine, even if it's not yayin nesach. Yayin nesach is wine that was stirred and poured for an idol. But even if it was wine that was not used in worship, but we don't know what the status of the wine is, that's called stam yenom, and that's what's referred to over here. Gentile wine was rendered forbidden mishum b'nosem, because if a Jew drinks the Gentile's wine, he'll then come to be a little too familiar with him, and then come to be with his daughters. The al b'noseihen mishum dover acher, and the ruling against being with their daughters is that you'll come to idolatry. So far, the mention of piton shimnon yenon b'noseihen was already mentioned. However, the additional thing that we were looking for is the al dover acher mishum dover acher. This is an additional gzera that was not mentioned earlier. It's somewhat obscure as the Gemara presents it, so it asks, my dover acher, what is this additional gzera that was made? Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Gozru al Tinoik Nochri Shemetame Beziva. They imposed a tuma derabonan on a Gentile child that he will have a ziva azav status. He is declared as tome shelo yehe tinoik Yisrael rogil etzlo b'mishkav zocher, so as to keep Jewish children away from them so that they don't engage in homosexual relations. So by imposing tumah on them, so Jewish parents would make sure their children are not in company with these Gentile children. Well, ihachi, if this is to be considered an additional example to add to the list of 18 things, the Rabbi Meir, Nami, Chasri Havin, according to Rabbi Meir, where we already accounted for 18, so now we're going to have 19. The Gemara answers, as far as the method of counting them, Oichlin v'kelim, shenitmu b'mashkin, these are examples of things that we saw back on in the nine things that were metame truma. Don't count them separately, but rather Oichlin that became tomei through mashkin, and vessels that became tomei through mashkin, count them as one. Bechada choshiv lu, count them as one and not two, and thereby, through adding the what we mentioned just now of the gozer al tinuk nochri shemitam beziva, will keep the list down to 18 as well for Rabbi Meir. At this point in the Gemara, it would be wise to go over the list, and the list of 18 things will include one who eats food that is a Rishon L'Tumah, so he becomes Tomei. Number two, one who eats food that's a Sheni L'Tumah, so he becomes Tomei and will ruin Truma. So those are two examples. The third example is one who drinks Mashkim Tameim. The fourth example is someone who enters Rosh Avarubo in Mayim Shuvim. He becomes Tomei. The fifth example is the Tahor over whom was poured three lug of Mayim Shuvim. The sixth example are the Svarim of Kisvei HaKodesh, holy writings, are Metame Truma. The seventh is Stam Yodayim, Pasal Truma, that's hands before they're washed. Eight is Oichlin, food that became Tomei through Mashkim. Nine is our vessels that became Tomei through Mashkim. Of course, at the very end of today's Gemara, we wouldn't count them as 8 and 9 with regard to Shitas Rabbi Meir. But for our listing right now, we're going to count them as 8 and 9. Number 10, Benois Kusim. The Kusim girls are Metama as Nidos from the day they're born. Number 11 was the issue of the vessel that overshadows, the pole that overshadows. Even if it doesn't have a width of a tefach, it has a circumference of a tefach, it will be mevi tuma on the person carrying it, make him tovein midrabbanan for 7 days. 12 is botzer anovim lagas, the water, the liquid that comes out, the grape juice that oozes out from that will machshir them lekabel tuma. Number 13 is gedulei truma, the truma seeds that one planted are going to be labeled as truma even after they grow anew, even though from letter of the law, once you plant seeds, it loses its, that which grows is no longer considered truma, but we imposed a gezeira that they will remain as truma, so as to discourage people from planting those truma seeds. The 14th example was the person who was walking along Erev Shabbos and it got very late and he had his pouch of money. He should give it to a Nochri and not carry it. Pochus Pochus Me'arba Amos. Number 15 is Ein Poilin Lior Haner. And 16 was Ein Korin Lior Haner. 17 was the, we lumped together here, Pitom Shmonam Yenom Unoseim, that they are Usser. That was 17, and 18 was the gzera of on the regarding the male Gentile is ruled to be considered a zav, so as to keep Jewish children away, so that they don't engage in forbidden relations, homosexual relations. We turn to the Mishnah at the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Beis. This Mishnah deals with things, actually features a machlokis based Shammai Vizhil concerning a number of activities, if one can set them up before Shabbos and the activity will continue on its own through Shabbos. Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Shorin Dio V'Samonim V'Karshinin, one is not allowed to soak. Dio is ink. We're talking about raw materials for the making of ink. Samonim are raw materials for making dyes. And karshinim is a type of plant that's used as meichel behema. So one is not to set them up in order to soak elokadesh yoshuru mibod yom, unless there's enough time for them to complete their soaking their soaking process before Shabbos sets in. Well, Beis Hillel Matirin, Beis Hillel allows you to set it up even if the soaking process won't be finished before the onset of Shabbos. Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Noisin Unin Shel Pishton L'socha Tanur Elo Kedei She Yavilu Mibod Yom. Unin Shel Pishton are stalks of flax, and flax is the raw material from which linen is made. So one is not to place the stalks, the flax stalks, in the oven, which is part of the process in processing the pishtan, unless they will achieve their necessary heat by being in the oven while it's still Friday. Velo es hatzmer liyore, and likewise one is not to place wool into a cauldron that is full of dyes, Elo Kadesh Yiklo Ha'ayin, unless there's enough time for the dye to take hold before the onset of Shabbos. Well, Beis Hillel Matir, and Beis Hillel says you don't have to worry about it taking the dye taking hold before Shabbos, even if it continues. If the wool continues to sit in the cauldron through Shabbos, it's okay. Beis Shammai omrim ein porsin mitzudos chayav oifus v'dogim elakadeshi yotzudu liba'od yom. Well, Beis Hillel matirin. Beis Shammai says one cannot spread out nets and traps in order to catch animals unless there's enough time for them to be caught while it's still Friday. And Beis Hillel matirin, they allow you to set up the traps even if it's right before Shabbos. Beis Shammai omrim ein porsin mitzudos chaya v'ofis v'dogim. We read that. Beis Shammai omrim ein mochrin l'nochri v'ein to'anim imo. One is not allowed to sell to a Gentile, nor is one allowed to load up his donkey. V'ein magbiyin olav, and one is not allowed to hoist things up onto the Gentile's shoulder. Elo k'dei she'yagia l'mokom korov, unless the Gentile lives close by, and there would be enough time from the time you helped him to get home before Shabbos sets in. As far as Beis Shammai is concerned, if you're going to be doing this with no time left for him to get home, it's going to look like the Gentile, even if you did happen to sell him the stuff, and technically speaking, it's his, people aren't going to know that, and they're going to think that the Gentile is working in service of the Jew on Shabbos. We should not make any assumptions and just state that it's forbidden for a goy, for a Gentile, to perform melachos for a Jew on Shabbos. Well, Beis Hillel matirin. Beis Hillel is not concerned with the way things look. Beis Shammai omrim ein noisnin oros la'abdon. One is not allowed to give skins over to a tanner. V'lo kelim l'koyves nochri. The tanner, by the way, was also a Gentile. Nor to give clothing, kelim or clothing, to a Gentile washman that he washes a laundromat. Elo k'dei she'asu miba'od yom, provided there's enough time to have the laundering finished while it's still day, meaning it's still Friday. U'bekulan Beis Hillel matirin im hashemesh. All of the things we mentioned before, Beis Hillel allows you to set up the setup as long as you do it before the onset of Shabbos. That's what im hashemesh means. We're at the top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Omar Rav Shimon Gamliel, no hagin hoyu beis abo. Rav Shimon says that his father's household used to have the practice shohoyu nosnim klei lovan lekoyves nochri shlosha yomim koyim l'shabbos. They would give their white garments, which are hard to cleanse. They would give their white garments to the koves, to the Gentile washman, 3 days before Shabbos. As we said, it's hard to wash them out, so Rav Shimon Gamliel was working with the shita of Beis Shammai that everything has to be finished before Shabbos, and if it's going to take 3 days to wash something out, you're going to have to give it to the launderer 3 days before Shabbos, or of course more, otherwise he'll continue working with it on Shabbos, and that will be unacceptable. V'shoven elu v'elu, there is agreement, namely, even Beis Shammai will agree with Beis Hillel, she'to'anin k'iras Beis Chabad v'igule hagas. Beis Chabad is an olive press, and hagas is a wine press. After the grapes and olives, respectively, were crushed, there was a practice to place a heavy beam on the residue, so as to squeeze out any more liquid that may be left. Rashi explains at some length that even if one were to do this on Shabbos itself, there would be no Isur Doraisa involved, because the grapes and the olives in this case have already been crushed. In fact, even if you wouldn't place these heavy beams on the grape or oil debris, the liquids that are left would ooze out on their own. This simply hastens the process. So since it's something that even if you were to do it on Shabbos itself, there would be no problem, you can set up the Koras Beis Haban and the Igulei Hagas, which is essentially the same thing. You can set it up right before Shabbos, and liquid will continue oozing out throughout Shabbos. This is something even Beis Shammai will concede to. This concludes today's Gemara section of Gemara Markings Daf Yomi. For those who are interested, our site offers a shiur on today's Daf Yomi Tosfos, presenting the Tosfos text with explanation.